All right, we are going to be studying Ezekiel. This is a powerful book. It's an unusual book. I have been checking up on some of the different theologians and scholars and different ones around to see what their take on it is. And it's amazing the differences all throughout on that. The skeptics, those who are against the word of God, they have a field day with Ezekiel. They've all classified him with some mental disorder, one kind or another, and that he's just lost his mind and all that he's doing and that's involved with that. And you might would think so in that, but that's not the case at all. I want you to know as we go through this and we go be covering verses 1 through 3, this morning and try to get through it and give you a basis for Ezekiel and what's going to be happening and what's going on in this. I've preached a lot from Ezekiel down through the years. There's some tremendous teachings in the book of Ezekiel involved in all of this. Just like we talked about in the Bible, there are things that are hidden. And there are a lot of things hidden in the book of Ezekiel. That's for sure in that line. And so we're going to be looking at some of this and see what's going on. So now Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Now, I mean, it wasn't, well, I had this vision some time ago, a few months back. No, I mean, it was the 13th year, the 4th month, the 5th day. This was something very unusual. It was life-changing to him about what was going to happen to him and what was involved with this. And so we want to see and see what's going on. So question one in this, Ezekiel was among the captives by the river Chebar. Now, here's where that's located. You got Babylon here. You have this is the river here coming into the Euphrates River. And you've got the different settlements around here of where that the Jews have been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. We've got through with Daniel that was involved with this. And Daniel, Ezekiel was close together with all of this. I think Ezekiel follows Daniel in the actual part of it. And Ezekiel is by this river among the captives. And so he realized, now, I'm not here on vacation. I'm out of my land and in a different place now. And now this is the actual picture of the river on there. It's a beautiful river going into it, depending on the spots and the time of the year that you've been involved with that. And where he has this experience that's life-changing. I mean, it changes him totally and completely involved with this. And we'll see this in a moment. And so not only that, he talked about that he was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open. And I saw visions of God. So verse or question two, did Ezekiel see heaven open or heavens open?
Heavens.
Keep that in mind. Now, we've talked about heavens and the heavens of heavens and so on. Now, Ezekiel's having an experience that just really would blow anybody's mind on this. And we're going to see this in a little bit. So the heavens. So as we go through the book of Ezekiel, you're going to see some things you've never seen before. And see what God is doing and what is involved with this. Then in verse question 3, did Ezekiel see a vision or visions of God? Visions of God. This first experience that Ezekiel has in chapter 1 is a process of things and of a realization of who really God is and what's all involved with God. It's not just a theology, just a religion, it's a reality. And this is a life-changing deal that Ezekiel has dealing with this. So he saw visions on this of God, and we'll be looking at this and trying to get through the details of it. Now, in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, The word of the Lord came expressly into Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Uz, and in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now, Ezekiel was a priest. Now, what did the priest do in the time of Ezekiel? Now, this is the time after the tabernacle has been used, and now you've got the matter of the temple has been built by Solomon, and all that's going on. And so they were worshiping in the matter of Jerusalem. And now Ezekiel is taken out of Jerusalem and taken captive in this, and he's a priest. What did the priest do? What was their, did they preach? No. Back then, they weren't preachers. Now, they might talk a little bit. They didn't know a whole lot about what was going on, except their duties were to take care of, make sure the showbread was on the table, make sure there was oil in the lamp, make sure there was incense in the incense altar and fire on them. There was no other type of service. Now, all of the feasts that they had, the priest, their duty was to receive the animals for sacrifice. They were to kill them. They were to cut them up. They were to cook them. They knew all of the different things were to do, and then cleaned all it all up. They were nothing but a bunch of servants serving in the temple. And of course, to be able to know what to do in the different sacrifices, they learned about the sin sacrifice, the atonement sacrifice, the other deals in that, so they would get some idea about what God was doing, but not in the sense what we have priests today. A priest today is more like a pastor, involved in the word of God, but not back then. See. Now, your high priest, now that was a different story, see. But they're normal priests. Now you had, you see, it wasn't a matter of calling. In Numbers 8:24, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites from 20 and 5 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's the duties of the priest. They were drafted. This wasn't a calling. This wasn't a choosing. Only those of the tribe of Levi, that their mother and fathers were of the tribe of Levi. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a priest. He had some bad ones in there. He had some that took the advantage of all was going on. Then you had some who really served God, see, and doing what they were supposed to do. Now, before the temple was built, the priest not only had the responsibility of seeing that you had all of the things in there that were properly done inside of the tabernacle, but they had to take it down and pack it up and move it, and then they had to unpack it and put it back up again, plus all these other things. I mean, they were busy people involved in it. When the temple was built by Solomon, it wasn't about them going in and making sure there was bread on one table. He had a whole bunch of tables with bread on them. It wasn't a matter of going in and making sure there's oil in one lamp. That had 7 lamps on it, 1 lampstand. There was a whole bunch of them. I mean, he had altars of incenses all over the places. He had the candle lamps all over the places. He had tables all over the places. He thought the more you had, the greater it was to honor God. And the priest had to take care of all of that. They had to make sure not only everything was proper, but everything was clean. All the brass, all the gold, all the silver was shining. I mean, it was spotless. I remember in the service when I was moved out of the engine room up into the chaplain's office, one of the duties that was involved in that, what was put out on the altar, the cross and the candlesticks, I mean, that had to be shining brass. It wasn't to be dirty whatsoever or tinted in that thing. I can imagine these priests going through all of that. So. Well, Ezekiel's got that deal on him. That's what he's doing. And he's taken captive in that. So they're drafted at the age of 25. And from the age of 50 years, they cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall serve no more. So when they reach the age of 50, they're no longer priests. So they're drafted into, like being drafted into the military, and do their duties and serve and do what they want, what they're supposed to do, and bother them. Well, so question five, a male Levite must be 25 years old to be a priest and retire at 50 years old. Now, I want you to see who we're dealing with and who God is dealing with in this. He's not dealing with the prophet. He's dealing with a priest, a servant, worker, saying that. And that's been drafted, whether he wanted to or not, doesn't make any difference, see, whether he's obedient or not. Well, now this also tells us Ezekiel as a priest would be between 25 and 50 years old. Well, some of them say he was about 30 when he was taken captive. See, we don't have any real proof of that, but just checking one thing and another and reading between the lines in that. And now in Ezekiel 3:24, then the Spirit entered into me and set me up on my feet and spake with me and said to me, go shut thyself within thy house. Now, we'll be getting into chapter 3 later on. What I wanted you to see here was that as a captive, Ezekiel, while in captivity, had his own house. So they weren't all in a camp, so to speak, even though they were in certain areas and settlements on that, but they had houses. And Ezekiel was one who had his own house, and that was doing pretty well. And then in chapter 24 of Ezekiel, verse 16, son of man, that's talking about Ezekiel, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. And neither shall thou mourn nor weep, nor shall thy tears run down. The desire of his eyes was his wife. He said, I'm going to take your wife with a stroke. And you're not going to mourn her death or weep over this. Nor tears run down your head. Forbear to cry, verse 17, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thy head of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. You're not going to spend any time mourning over her, though she is the pride of your desire of your eyes. He loves her greatly. How could he face the death of his wife and not mourn? Now notice verse 18. So I spake to the people in the morning. At evening, my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. He didn't spend any time mourning. The next day he was speaking to the people as God had commanded him to do so. How could he do that? How could he go and be able to do this and this? And why did God have him to do it? We'll talk about that later. But now, Ezekiel learned as God was dealing with him that his wife was alive in heaven. She was not dead. She was very much alive. She just moved from this earth to heaven. And he could go on about his business. She took a trip. And he would be taking a trip later on. So the faith of Ezekiel was developed tremendously. What was it that caused Ezekiel to increase his faith and to develop this faith that he would have and all the things that he would be doing in this thing? So question six, after Ezekiel spoke to the people in the morning, his wife died in the evening. And so when you know about where your wife's going to be and your loved one's going to be, you can face it a lot better. They're just taking a trip. In fact, today we know they got a round trip ticket. They're coming back with Jesus. And that could be today, be tomorrow. And where they are, man, what a blessing it is. So he wasn't to mourn over this. Now, in Ezekiel 3:16, it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, I want you to notice the phrase here, the word of the Lord then came unto me saying. The phrase, the word of the Lord, is used 60 times in Ezekiel. 60 times in this book, over and over and over again, he says the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And then he added something to it. The word of the Lord came to me saying, out of those 60 times, 49 times, the phrase came unto me saying is used with this phrase, the word of the Lord. And so what is this doing? Emphasizing and assuring over and over again, this is not my words. This is not my thinking. This is not my doing. This is what God wanted me to do. The word of the Lord came to me saying. But with Ezekiel, the word angel is never used in the book of Ezekiel. Nothing is said about any angels talking to him, any angels visiting with him, any angels delivering the word of God. With all of the others, you've got angels interacting in the Old Testament, delivering the word of God. That's what the angel word angel means, a messenger. But with Ezekiel, God deals with him in a different way. How could God deliver a message to Ezekiel and he would know that without an angel, without having a Bible, a complete word, as we have today? We have the complete word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We know when God's dealing with us, and it'd be according to the word. How would this happen with Ezekiel? Well, Ezekiel 2:3, and he said to me, son of man, send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even this very day. For they are empty children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Ezekiel, all of these people you're going to be dealing with that's in captivity and otherwise, they are rebellious. They are evil. They're my children. They're my people, they're the Israelites, but man, they're stiff-hearted. Said they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So Israel will know that there has been a prophet among them. Israel is called from being a priest to being a prophet. This is quite a calling. And he's to speak to people that's not going to pay attention to him. They don't want to hear him. They don't want to hear anything from God. Now, he's not talking to the Chaldeans. He's talking to the Israelites, to the Jews. And that's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Man, down through the years, you want to go to people that like to hear you preach. You know where God sent me all my 66 years? The churches that were having problems and trouble, they didn't want to hear the word of God. They're fussing and fighting one another. That was the last thing they wanted to hear. You'd have a few here and there, but the majority, no. It's not an easy task to do. What could get Ezekiel to do that? Well, Ezekiel 1:3, the word of the Lord came expressly. That's an important word. Came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Uz, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebarim, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. This is very important. The word of the Lord came expressly. What does expressly mean?
Explicit.
Clearly.
For a specific purpose.
No question, no doubt, brother, and listen, he was solid in this. Oh, you were just imagining something. You just thought you heard that. You thought this was from God. No, this came expressly to him. There was no question about it whatsoever. Ezekiel received the word of the Lord from four creatures and cherubims of the heavenly host. The Bible does not record anyone else receiving a message from God as Ezekiel did. Why didn't God send an angel to Ezekiel? He's a priest doing about duty. He's familiar with the teaching of God's word, but he's a servant and doing the things that God would have him to do in the temple. He was drafted. Now, whether he wanted to or not, was there. He had his own house, had a beautiful wife, loved his wife. She would be killed before this thing was over with. And he wasn't to mourn what was going on. What was it that changed his life? The event that's going to happen in dealing with Ezekiel, the first event, and Ezekiel's dealing with God, is a life-changing event. I mean, it's unbelievable what Ezekiel sees. He doesn't just see lights jumping around in the air. He sees details, four wheels and four creatures. Not something in the distance and blurry, but actually coming into where he could see all that was involved with this. Something that would change his life forever. Read the testimony and the comments that people make that have been out in space. The astronauts that's going to the moon and others. It's a life-changing experience. Some of them, it's very spiritual. Some of them, it's not, but it's a life-changing experience. They're different. You have a different view, different opinion, totally, entirely. You might think about those things, but when you experience it, it's something else that's there. What Ezekiel experienced, what we're going to be getting into in our next week with this, is in the matter of something that would change him entirely to where he would obey God by faith and do things that only a crazy person would do. Do things that others would say, you're nuts, you're crazy, you don't know what you haven't got any sense. Anybody with any sense wouldn't do what you're doing. You ever had the comment made to you about that? Your faithfulness to God? You have to have one of those experiences that really changes your attitude and prospect of God. I never saw any lights bouncing around, UFOs. I never had that type of experience. But as a junior in high school, my grandfather had out of town, out about 15 miles out, had a piece of land out there, pasture that we call it, had some cattle on it. And I would go out there and help him to take care of the cattle. And we had built a corral, but we'd bring up some cattle that would be injured or sick and doctor them, or where they'd have a calf and take care of them and that. So God was dealing with me and very strongly about becoming a preacher. Man, that was far from me and far from my character and my background for me to be a preacher. But he was dealing with me strongly with that. Finally came to the point where that I was really making that decision. I went out to that pasture by myself. The cattle were out in the back side of the pasture. Wasn't any cattle at the corral there. I got inside that corral and fell on my knees. I talked to God about surrendering the preach. I said, God, I can't do this. I can't pronounce the words. I didn't even know the Bible that much. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And even at that time, my mother wasn't saved. My father wasn't saved. I had about three stepfathers up to this point. None of them were Christians. And Lord, why me? If you call me to preach, it's got to be a miracle. And everything I do has got to be a miracle. I felt a hand on my shoulder. Not lightly, but very strongly. It was so strong, I opened my eyes to look around. There wasn't a soul there. God wasn't to this junior in high school an imagination, a religion, but it became a reality that changed my life completely, where I would follow him by faith, regardless how foolish or ridiculous it might be, whether I'm qualified or not, whatever he says, I'll do. That makes a difference in your life. It hasn't changed in 66 years. And it won't change. Ezekiel has an experience far greater than this, that he would be going to a rebellious people. He's got to have an experience that they would listen, or they would know a prophet has been in their midst. There's been times when I've had to teach and preach, and people could hardly realize what was really being said, what had been done. But they knew God was in it, and it wasn't me. And so we're going to get in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to see what happened to Ezekiel and what was really going on with this. I'm excited about it. I hope you get excited about it. You need to have your friends here. You need to invite others who hadn't been coming. You need to encourage that others come and really get involved in the study of the book of Ezekiel. All right.